Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Five Stripes Report with Mike Conti, brought to you by Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be. Hey, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening on a Wednesday. Beautiful day here in the ATL, man. Getting ready for opening day tomorrow. We'll talk more about that. And this article by Jeff Schultz, finally hearing from the higher-ups, Mike Bell, about what happened with John Coppola. He was rogue. We'll tell you more about that coming up. Paulie Malignaggi is going to join us coming up at 3:20. Guys, you don't want to miss it. Showtime boxing analyst. Paulie's got an interesting history with a variety of things, but we got to ask him about this Canelo thing, because a lot of people saying, you know what, with the whole Canelo drug thing, Mike, it's ruining this fight with Triple G.
Yeah, I mean, where's the credibility for boxing? You know, how are you going to let a guy, you know, fight for a chance? You know, I know, again, this is not, now it's going to be what, an exhibition. I mean, that you can't give a guy a belt if he's failed two drug tests in 90 days. So we'll find out what Paulie has to say about that. And a guy who's very entertaining on the Showtime boxing and a big heavyweight fight. Unfortunately for our buddy Deontay Wilder in Birmingham, all the juice.
Bye!
All the juice is over there in the UK, but of course he did get a win over Ortiz up at Barclays in Brooklyn. So just trying to, you know, get more people to know we got a great American heavyweight champ, but a guy can't get arrested right now.
Yeah, this fight I'm actually interested in. You said it, Joshua's packing the house. Joseph Parker's also a champion, so you got the IBF, WBA, and WBO belts on the line. We'll talk to Paulie coming up in about 20 minutes. Hey, before we get into our NFL blitz, we had Darryl Walker on the show during the basketball season. And for those who do not know, big congratulations going out to Clark Atlanta's former Clark Atlanta coach, Darryl Walker. He becomes a new basketball coach at Arkansas Little Rock, Mike. And we were going to mention this the other day, but he came on, obviously played in the NBA a lot of years, but I think he did a great job there. Now he's moving on to Arkansas Little Rock. So we wish Coach best of luck.
We had so much fun talking about Clark Atlanta and Morehouse this year, and what a great effort from both coaches this year. But, you know, good for him because he wanted to get back in the game, and he had talked about, you know, with us on the air about it. You know, certainly, look, it's tough. It's, you know, how even to get a gig like that is tough nowadays. Once you get to a certain point, Arthur, sometimes you're too old to get the shot, and good for Coach.
Well, he was definitely interested in getting another NBA chance, and the landscape for a lot of former players getting NBA jobs isn't there anymore. And so he confidently felt he could succeed on a college level. He did at Clark Atlanta. Now he takes the move from Division II to Division I going to Little Rock. But if you remember, he played college ball at the University of Arkansas.
That's
so
right.
He's very familiar with that area, and we certainly wish him the best.
All right, man. We'll keep an eye out on what Darryl's doing there in Arkansas. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia Studios, man. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hey. Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike and I both reacting to the comments of Roger Goodell, kind of digesting this whole targeting new rule by the NFL, Mike. We're all trying to go understand it and at least comprehend how this thing's actually going to work.
Look, they don't want you leading with the helmet. We get that. And they don't want to see guys carted off the field, you know, strapped down to boards and then having to deal with paralysis. We get that as well. And also goes back to the initial problems with CTE and traumatic brain issues. But it's still football. And I applaud Richard Sherman and Josh Norman for basically telling it like it is, saying they will not be able to do their job as effectively as they try. Now, again, you guys can say that's an overreaction. Football's a violent sport. Everyone says they want to play heads up. That's not necessarily how it works 24-7, Carl, in the game.
Here's the part. This is where you keep limiting the target area, not the target rule. Remember that the NFL wanted to limit knee injuries.
Right.
So they said, hey, we're going to take out all that stuff where guys are taking out knees. And we've seen it in recent years where guys hit low and other guys get up, or guys on other teams get in other people's faces. And they go, come on, man, you know better.
The cut block, you've seen a lot of flags on the cut blocks. Now, again, there's a way to do it that is legal, but, you know, the refs have been more judicious with it. You're right.
You can't do that. So they said, here's the target area. And I'm using my chest area, all right, below my neck, down below my belly. My belly's big, okay? Yeah. That's the area in which the NFL allegedly wants you to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what these guys are saying is, now you're telling me, now, you know, don't lead with your head. when you're taught, yes, heads up, but sometimes these bang-bang plays, Mike, it's very difficult to do that. And what Richard Sherman was saying is, all right, now we're getting back to more leg extremities and injuries down below.
It's ridiculous, Richard Sherman telling USA Today, like telling a driver, as Carl mentioned last hour, if you touch the lane lines, you're going to get a ticket. Josh Norman says, I don't know how you're going to play the game. If your helmet comes in contact, how are you going to avoid that if you're in the trenches and you hit a running back, face mask to face mask? Because that's the thing. These aren't like, it's not like you're hitting a tackling dummy. You're not hitting a sled. These are moving, two moving targets, okay? Running back or wide receiver's going
and
one
way. And one's trying to make you miss.
Right. And he's also moving, shucking and jiving. You know, he might go lower. Now the contact point is lower. Now you've got head-to-head contact. And remember Dante Robinson, Falcon fans? We used to see him get popped. I'm just worried about guys like Keanu Neal because Keanu Neal's going to have to really change the way he tackles guys. That's a reality for the way he plays the game.
Falcons tweeted out yesterday. It was kind of funny. They had Keanu Neal like folding his arms, you know, one of those memes.
Right.
And it was like, Keanu Neal hearing of the rule change means nothing. And he kind of folds his arms. You know, listen, I've said this. You can't take an aggressive player and tell him to play less aggressive. It doesn't happen. Ronnie Lott was not going to play less aggressive because, well, you need to take a little bit off. Guys who play that way, they can't. That's not in their nature. Here's Roger Goodell explaining.
You're all aware of the fact that we spent a great deal of time, had a lot of discussion over the last several days, including this morning, on how we implement the lowering the head. Our focus is how to take the head out of the game and make sure that we're using the helmet as protection and is not being used as a weapon. And that's the core of what we're focused on. And I think we made a tremendous amount of progress in that this week.
Is Roger on meds? What's going on there? Anyway, maybe just coming from happy hour. The comments of Michael David Smith. Go to Pro Football Talk, Carl, and check out the column. He says, as Rich McKay mentioned yesterday in his initial comments, they're still fine-tuning how this rule is going to be interpreted. He says, this again, the words of Michael David Smith, they have no idea just how big a change this is. Lowering the head to initiate contact with the helmet. Well, what if a lineman is doing something coming out of a three-point stance? Quarterback doing lunges forward on a quarterback sneak. All these different – how do you interpret that? You're going to have to add about two pages of rules about this stuff.
At least. And, guys, again, the only part that we know right now is this is going to be a 15-yard penalty. And as far as ejections, that is still being discussed, and they'll continue to discuss it when they come here to the ATL in May. Speaking of 15-yard pass interference penalties, let's hear from Dan Quinn because we now know what the catch rule is. That got approved yesterday. We talked a lot about it on the show. But, Mike, we've gone back and forth. What should this be when you talk about, you know, the new rules of pass interference? And especially, it's a spot foul, meaning you throw the ball 40 yards down the field, the ball's put 40 yards down the field.
Right.
That's a problem. I never liked it, especially late in games, because it puts you in position to win. If your team's driving and you just throw it up. And, guys, you know, the concern is, to Mike's point, I think you brought this up earlier this week, you can't have guys grabbing and tugging and then taking away from the receivers.
Yeah, because we love offense. Americans and the way football is nowadays, people are disappointed when the game's not in the 30s. So if you allow this to be 15 yards, and yeah, guys are going to get beat, you know, just throw a foot out there and hook a guy or whatever. I'm not buying it. I would say 20 yards. If you are going to do it, but I also agree with you, it put the Patriots right back in the AFC championship game when they got away with a ridiculous, remember the Jaguars got popped for pass interference, ridiculous call by the refs. How about 20 yards? I know I've thrown this at you before.
I know.
What about a 20-yard pass interference in the NFL? And obviously, first and goal obviously still happens if it happens in the end zone.
Right. And I think Dan Quinn's talking about a 15-yard pass interference penalty. Let's hear.
I hope that we consider it.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
And the reason being, I think some people get concerned, okay, at the end of the game, or you know, there could be a flagrant foul that, you know, should be a long DPI. Maybe there could be a way to say, you know, in the last 2 minutes of the half, you know, it goes back to the old rules where it's a long way to go.
Gotcha.
If that's one of, you know, the committee's concerns.
Right.
But whether it happens for this year or for years, you know, to come, I think those are good discussions to have. But, yeah, I'd be in favor of giving that a shot for sure.
Dan Quinn on Pro Football Talk, the radio show there. You hear the other voices, and they asked him that question about the pass interference and defensive pass interference specifically and what he thought. You talk about Keanu Neal. Listen to what Dan Quinn talks about. When he said yesterday there are certain guys that need to elevate their game, he mentioned Keanu Neal to help elevate the team. He also mentioned Vic Beasley and Brian Poole and Duke Riley. Here he is talking about Neal.
It's really the toughness part, you know, right, that he brings. At strong safety in our system, you know, likely he's down playing in the box, so
right,
you better be on your run fits.
Yeah.
You better be able to cover tight ends man-to-man. And having the physicality by the line of scrimmage, that part of his game is really intact. And then I like the part that he goes for the ball. I think he has in his, you know, 2 years, he has 8 forced fumbles,
right,
you know, in 2 years.
Now, Mike, we don't know what the NFL schedule is going to be. If you could arrange the schedule, who you want to start the season with?
Saints. Let's get one of those out of the way right now.
Immediately.
I want a Monday night game with the Saints. I want to start the season with somebody in the division, and let's get it out of the way, as opposed to the backloading of the division schedule, which I did not like this last season.
Yeah, a lot to be determined in that last month. Dan Quinn, do you want to face the Eagles week one?
Yeah, we would be up for that. And it's always fun when the schedule comes out because you know who you play.
Right.
And then, you know, a few weeks from now, you get the sense, okay, where does that kind of sit in? And now you know where it is, but then when it comes out, then you kind of get it in your mind a little bit where the division are. And that's really where I look at first, the division.
And the Vikings play in Philly Thursday night, right, to start the season? Is that what it is, AT?
Yes. So he was asked that
question. Who do you want first game?
Let's get the Cowboys out the way.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Cowboys, knock that out.
Yeah. Actually, let's go up to Chicago. I mean, the Lambeau game, if we're going to go to Lambeau, for those who are going to make the trip, let's do it early in the year.
Early.
And by the way, if Terry is listening, we got to book this trip now, Holmes. We got to get tickets. We got to get the press box. We got to get everything. Let's get up to Lambeau, man.
I hear you. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz as we go around the National Football League. All right, a couple of other news notes. Redskins sent safety Sue Cravens to the Broncos for a fifth-round pick. This deal's been in the works for a while, but it actually became official. We mentioned Odell Beckham. Giants say they're not selling him, or at least shopping him. The rumor is they want two first-round picks for Odell Beckham Jr.
John Mara basically threw cold water on it yesterday, and if you missed the comments of Dave Gettleman, the general manager, saying, look, you don't quit on talent like that. But the thing is, how does a guy like Odell, and like, now, I've never met the man face-to-face, but he actually looked like a bit of a diva at times. Remember, he did try to make love to the kicking net on the sideline for the Giants. The thing is, how does he handle the fact that the Giants are throwing stuff out there about moving on? Sounds like that becomes an untenable situation for the Giants because this dude's going to sit it out.
Well, listen,
I would not call his bluff.
I'm in my feelings bag until they tell me $20 million a year, and I'm straight.
Just like Dez Bryant.
That's correct.
Years ago.
I mean, I'm like, I can't stand these people. I hate them. I want to out of here. $20 million a year. I'm good. Let's get to work. I think that's kind of how it works with Dez, and not Dez, but Odell Beckham.
Yeah, man, the Giants, if you could get two first-rounders, and Carl and I were kicking this around earlier, if you're the Rams, would you play ball? Yeah, man. There's a couple other teams, not just having to be the Rams, that could use that piece to put them over the top.
Another new rule, guys, you may not have heard about, but it makes sense. Did you watch the Saints-Minnesota Vikings game? Remember how that ended? Vikings score, everybody goes to the locker room, and they're like, we got to kick the extra point.
Yeah.
New rule eliminates extra point attempts after a game-winning touchdown. So basically, it's a walk-off, right?
Now, unless you got them at 5.5 or 6.5, I mean, that's the
Oops.
Thing. If you've got a team and you're getting 6.5, you need that extra point. Well, that extra point is gone now. So, gamblers, bet accordingly.
Good point about that. Now, when they ran them back out, did they actually kick the extra point? They just hiked it, right?
See, and that's the worst part. If you have the 6.5 and they don't do anything.
No, the Vikings took a knee.
You know what? We sound like complete degenerates right now.
Because we are. And if there's any kids in the car right now, ask your dad. Gambling makes sports more fun and more entertaining.
How dare you, Craig, even put us on the spot like that? Well, I had the 6.5.
Yeah.
All right.
But that is the concern right there. That's why we love Al Michaels when he goes, and now this game is officially over. Over-under. Yeah. If you're not catching the drift on that, that's what Al's referring to.
Hey, tight end Ben Watson. We like Ben.
Money guy, man. Keeps on trucking.
He signs or re-signs with the Saints. It's a one-year deal.
They
try to get Jimmy Graham, but they bring back Ben Watson. Now, he's killed us in the past.
Was it 2 years ago that he had a good game against us? Yeah, he still keeps on rolling, man.
Hey, and a big shout-out to Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who continues his battle against cancer. Former Buffalo Bills quarterback set to have surgery today for his oral cancer, which returned, Mike.
We're big fans of Jim Kelly. We both got a chance to play in some golf tournaments with him. He's just a great guy. Everybody we know, remember we had Andre Reed on a couple times last year. Jim is, and he's talking about a great teammate. He's just a good dude, man. And hopefully he gets it again. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, bro.
No, not at all.
Hey, by the way, a couple of guys hit us up on the text line. For those who are not familiar, we don't get the NFL schedule for a few more weeks, but we know we're obviously our divisional opponents. And then it's Philadelphia, Washington, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Green Bay away. And here at the Dome, we get the Cowboys, as Carl mentioned, the Giants, the Ravens, Bengals, and the Cards.
That's why we can say this is where we want to start.
Right.
We know the teams. We just don't know the dates. Hey, more to get to when it comes to the draft. We'll let you hear Saquon Barkley coming up a little bit later. And Mike Piera, the former official, talking about the new catch rule. We'll let you hear that as well. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell, though. It's time to give you a chance for some money.
Now
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Gone Girl. All right, the word is gone, G-O-N-E, but the movie was...
That's a happy movie.
It was crazy.
Gone, G-O-N-E, gone, man. Guys, before you know it, this contest will be gone, so send G-O-N-E, text GONE to 72881. Gone is the word for 3 o'clock hour for a national signing bonus.
It's a good movie, though, Mike. It was nuts, but it was good movie.
But that's just creepy, man. And, you know, my wife watches enough, like, of that Murder and Mayhem shows. She pulled that move herself. Gone, G-O-N-E, to 72881.
You know what? You need to watch your back. I'm just saying. I didn't know your wife was watching.
I know guys
kind of
fall
stuff.
Off of balconies of tall buildings all the time.
Hey, man, coming back, Paulie Malignaggi. What's the deal with this heavyweight bout that's going on this weekend? And what's he think about Canelo, Conor McGregor, and Mayweather?
Paulie's a two-time champ in two different weight classes, and he's always entertaining. You won't want to miss it next.
It is Dukes and Bell, and guys, you know we cover everything in the world of sports. Mike and I love boxing, and this weekend, there's a hell of a match going on. Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker on Showtime, guys. It's a heavyweight bout, and joining us right now is Showtime boxing analyst, one of our favorite dudes, Paulie Malignaggi. What's up, Paulie? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you guys doing?
Well, we're looking forward to this fight this weekend. Obviously, this is a fight where both guys have belts and somebody's got to lose. How do you view this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. They both have major world titles. Joshua holding the WBA and IBF championships of the world, and Parker holding the WBO title. So, you know, I don't know how familiar your fans are, your listeners are with boxing. It's four major heavyweight titles. So this fight involves four major titles in general in boxing, and this fight involves three of them. You know, Joseph Parker's bringing the WBO title, and Joshua bringing the other two titles. It's exciting. Both guys are undefeated. Both guys have earned their way here. It's getting a lot of mega promotion. Neither guy's American, so, you know, obviously Joshua being from the UK, the fight is going to be over in Wales. But guys are making strides, man. I mean, obviously Joshua is the more hyped guy, and he's been making strides. I think he's at 100% knockout ratio, knockout record. But both guys have a perfect record in terms of they're both undefeated. So this is a big fight.
Yeah, Joshua packs the house at Wembley every time he's out there. As we said, unfortunately, the juice in the heavyweight division is in the UK, as Paulie Malignaggi joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. We'll ask you about Deontay Wilder in a second.
Bomb squad!
But, he's actually puts on a good show. I mean, you got to be honest, Joshua does give you your money's worth.
Yeah, you're going to get your money's worth. He puts on exciting fights, and he wants to fight the best. You know, he came out and beat Vladimir Klitschko last year at Wembley Stadium. He beat Carlos Takam in October. He was a backup opponent. Actually, was a pretty decent. Ended up being a pretty decent guy. The Klitschko fight was just the most amazing event I've ever worked in my life. I mean, that was just a crazy event, a crazy fight, a terrific fight, super hyped up. And I really believe that this fight with Parker is gonna, you know, get close to that. You know, Klitschko was the reigning champion for about 10 years. You know, so it was. It's a hard thing to match that, but it was kind of a passing of the torch fight in the way Joshua was able to beat him, getting up off the canvas and defending the title against the faded war horse. You know, I think Joshua is a guy that people are going to really look forward to watching for the coming years, and the heavyweight division, you know, it gets exciting. You know, whenever you don't have one particular guy who's so dominant that you can't even touch him.
Right.
You know, people get more excited. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, that was the complaint about Floyd Mayweather. It was a complaint about Vladimir Klitschko. They just dominate to the point where, you know, people complain about their fights, you know. But in this situation now with the heavyweight division, these guys are still world-class fighters. But there's just enough flaws there for the titles to change hands, guys to wind up on the canvas, you guys traded knockdowns or whatnot, like you saw in the Klitschko and Joshua fight, or the Wilder Ortiz fight where Wilder was out on his feet and then Ortiz was down and whatnot. So you're getting these rock 'em sock 'em kind of fights, but they're still high skill level fights. So I think it makes people excited.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker, the big heavyweight fight this weekend. But Paulie, let's rewind a minute. You went and you attempted to try to help Conor McGregor when you sparred with him.
Yeah, we got to talk about
this. When he was getting ready for the Mayweather fight. All right, man, take us behind the scene. What really happened, Paulie? Because this guy came out and he was like, oh, I beat Paulie up. And then you came out and you were like, he didn't do any of that. What happened?
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is you have to see the whole video and see for yourselves, you know. But you got to put the media has to put the pressure on him, not on me. You know, I don't have the videos. He has the video. He can edit them and cut them the way he wants to. You know, I didn't know. I didn't even know we were being recorded. You know, the problem with cameras nowadays is they look like the photo cameras, but they take video too. You know, so
right.
Yeah, I'm thinking this guys. He's got photographers off on the side of the ring taking pictures, maybe for his Instagram or whatnot or whatever. And I guess they were recording, but regardless, they have the video. I mean, I'm not ashamed of the video. You can play the whole video, but you know,
right.
He's cut it up the way he wanted it, and you know, you're gonna see what he wanted to. You know what I mean? You can make a highlight video out of McGregor and Mayweather.
Yeah.
With McGregor landing punches, you can. I mean, you can make a 12-second highlight out of anything. You can get your butt whooped and still have a 12-second highlight in a fight. You know, because fights last long. You know, so
right.
So I mean, the bottom line is, any way you want to spin it, they never release a video. I think people understand. The people who have any common sense would know why.
Right, Paulie Molinowski from Showtime with us here talking about the big heavyweight fight from London, actually from Wales, actually.
Yeah.
So it's a 6 o'clock kick on Showtime on Saturday. Joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Dog report coming up, guys. More on the Falcons as well. Paulie, I know it's another brand because it's HBO, but just real quick, is the Canelo brand just what is it now? I mean, with the failed drug tests.
I don't know, man. You know, boxing really needs to reshape itself with the drug testing. Everybody wants to pretend they don't have money for drug testing. Boxing has enough money for drug testing, man. Boxing has enough money to random drug test all the top fighters all year round. You know, the promoters just want to be cheapskates and hold their pockets tight and not spend anything on any extra money on anything. You know, the best case scenario will be, and I hate to say it because it will cost me a job too, but the best case scenario would be all television drops boxing. All television drops boxing, and they take it back on the event that all the top 15, top 20 fighters in the world get random drug tested, and it's paid for by their promoter. Their promoter has to pay. You want to sign a fighter, part of the expenses have to be that you got to random drug test him all year round. You know what I'm saying? So that he can then fight on a major network and get paid and make you money and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Because now he's gotten to the point where it's out of hand, and you're just seeing the guys who are dumb enough to fail. There's a whole other pile of guys out there that ain't failing tests that are juicing, steroided up or on PEDs. Okay,
right.
This is actually out of hand, out of control. It reminds me of like the way cycling was back in the day. You know, where it was just so out of hand, and now they've just clamped down on it so much, the drug testing, that, you know, it's a lot harder to do. Nobody wants to clamp down on boxing's drug testing because the things these fighters are accomplishing in this day and age are things that nobody was accomplishing before. You got guys fighting 17 weight classes now, you know what I'm saying? You got guys fighting 4 weight classes apart overnight, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're seeing guys who will fight until they're 100 years old, you know what I'm saying? You're seeing things you never saw before, you know, because it's the drugs. You know, I don't know how many ways you want to spin it. But that's the dope. That's the part of the doping. So yeah, the Canelo's the latest one.
Right.
But regardless, nobody's doing their job. The problem is all the media wants to be fans. If you start reporting on Canelo being doped at the point where he failed the drug test, that already flew over your head, bro. I mean, you have to know this. You have to be on top of this before, because how are you going to catch the guys that are doping and getting away with it then? If you were only coming down on guys who are failing drug tests, how in the world are you ever going to catch the guys who aren't failing drug tests? What do you think, you're catching everybody? You're not catching most of them. So I just think it needs a whole revamping, they got to haul everything over, you know, and I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know how they're going to do it, you know. Honestly, man, if I would have doped up, I could have fought till I was 45 too, you know what I mean? but I decided, you know what, I've done this my whole career the right way, and I'm going to end it the right way.
Right.
Sure, I would love to keep fighting. I would love to keep fighting at a world-class level, but you know what? I'm not world-class anymore. Age has caught up to me, and I'm not going to dope just to get myself back feeling young and get to world-class level again. I'd rather retire and look myself in the face for the rest of my life in the mirror and be okay with it. But you know what the problem is? A lot of these guys don't have that problem. They can look at themselves in the mirror and feel fine about it, you know, but I'm not that way, and luckily I was able to have a job where I could, you know, bow out gracefully and work on television. But you know, it's a problem. It's a problem because now you're going to have guys who would turn. What about the new generation? Boxing doping is at the highest it's ever been. What about the new generation now? The new generation is going to have to come to a decision where you're going to have these young kids who have been boxing their whole life, are on a world class level as amateurs, and now we're going to have to make a choice when they turn pro. Do I go get a job? Or do I continue to follow my dream that I've been chasing since I'm a baby,
But now, in order to do that, I have to dope in order to keep up with the rest of the guys. Otherwise, I'm going to be just become a journeyman or a cult fighter. It's really, really a problem. It's a deeper problem than people realize.
Keeping it real with Paulie Malignaggi. Mm-hmm. This is why we get him on, guys. It's Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A couple more things before we let you roll. Again, Showtime boxing analyst Paulie Malignaggi joining us. It's Anthony Joshua taking on Joseph Parker. I want to ask you about Mayweather. Is he fronting with all this UFC stuff, running in the ring, taping himself, taking his shirt off? Is he really going to try UFC or not?
Floyd is a showman, you know. He's an entertainer, and Floyd knows how to get the crowd and get people amped up and entertained. I would be really surprised if he fought in a mixed martial arts fight. I'll be honest.
Right.
But you know, it's funny to irk Conor McGregor fans because they jump at anything that involves anything with Conor McGregor, and it's funny to irk Conor McGregor himself because you know he gets mad when you call him out on what he really is, which is a punk. You know, so at the end of the day, I think he's just teasing Conor McGregor. I think he's teasing the fans. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think Conor McGregor is a little butthurt that he got all beat up and embarrassed in front of the whole world. I think his fans feel the same way. So, you know, this gives them a chance to feel like, oh, we're going to get Floyd back or we're going to get him back in our domain. And I'll be honest, you're probably not. You're probably just going to have to live with the fact that Floyd beat him all over the place. And you're going to have to take that. It's going to be part of history, you know?
I mean, we were a little impressed. I mean, again, I think most people were surprised it went as far as it did. I know Floyd was rusty, but I mean, it still exceeded expectations.
Are you kidding me? Floyd didn't even train for a fight. this was like, I hate to say it, because I don't want to bring race into it, but this was like the movie The Great White Hype. You know, like, you never saw The Great White Hype?
Yeah, the leprechaun and the bagpipes.
Bro, it was The Great White Hype all over again, bro. I'm telling you. He didn't even train for the fight. He just did some road work. He passed by the gym an hour a day on the way to working at the strip club. He had just opened the strip club. Floyd was literally in the strip club every night, not partying, but, you know, he was attending the business all night. He would sleep all day, passed by the gym like an hour a day, hit the bag a little bit, and then go to the strip club all night. You know what I mean? He did some road work. It was a Great White Hype, and people were making like, oh, well, we got to be impressed with Conor McGregor. What are you going to be impressed about? What did he show you? Did he do anything? He pitty-patted for a few rounds, and then he got knocked out. And he quit, dude, because he just stopped throwing punches. At least he didn't throw punches. It's like, all right, you know what? He went out on his shield. What shield did he go out on? He didn't throw a punch like the last whole round. He was dying for the ref to stop the fight.
Hey, we got about a minute left real quick, Paulie. Deontay Wilder beats Luis Ortiz. And again, Ortiz is like he's like Jabba the Hutt out there. But give us the idea of Deontay Wilder against Joshua. Will we ever see this fight and when?
I really do. I really think we'll see it in the next 12 months. I really do. I think both guys have proven themselves, not just with skills, but also their mettle and what they have inside. Both guys have had to overcome being hurt in fights. Both guys have beaten world-class fighters. Both guys are still undefeated. Both guys have almost on 100% knockout ratio combined. I think Deontay only has one decision on his record. I think the fight will happen, but don't take these other guys lightly because Joshua and Wilder, again, are not Klitschko. They're as dominant as he was. So they, you know, in taking on these rough guys like Wilder taking on Ortiz and Joshua taking on Klitschko and now even a faded Klitschko and now Joshua taking on Parker, don't be surprised if they're risking it. And that's what I respect about these guys. Sure, they're talking about fighting each other and it's a great fight, but they're putting it down the line and risking it against these other fighters too, which these guys, if they lose to them, it would ruin the mega fight, you know? But if they keep beating these other top fighters, the mega fight becomes bigger. So we'll see. I, if they keep winning, I expect it to happen in the next 12 months.
Paulie, you're our dude, man. Appreciate you. So I got to leave you with this. Don't talk about my side piece. All right, I had to do it.
Hey, man, this side piece is for a reason. Don't take him seriously.
Appreciate you jumping on, man. Have a great call, and we'll talk to you next time.
Take care, man.
Makes me laugh every time, man. Paulie Malignaggi from Showtime. Remember, this guy was a two different weight division champion. I mean, in addition to a fun interview, but always entertaining to give it his analysis outside the ring.
You want a chance to go check out our Atlanta Hawks? Got to lose tonight. But you can go see them Sunday at 6 p.m. as they take on Orlando. We're giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets right now at 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. You want a pair of tickets to go check out the Hawks? It is Easter Sunday. Maybe you're going to, you know, hang out a little bit. But Sunday at 6 o'clock, they're playing Orlando.
Could be the game to decide the ping pong balls.
Could be. We'll give you a chance to go right now on Dukes and Bell.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's get to it, Mike Conti, In Case You Missed It. Coming up, 4 o'clock, guys. We'll tell you what Kirby Smart is doing, and it's genius. And you're going to see other people follow his footsteps. That coming your way at 4 o'clock. But right now, in case you missed it, what's going on?
Cactus League play ended on a somber and sour note last night in Major League Baseball because the final game of spring training it matched Southern California rivals, the L.A. Dodgers and the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, Orange County, whatever. So they play at Dodger Stadium, right? Beginning of the Braves played the Yankees at SunTrust the other day. They're out of Arizona and Florida now. They're playing at their home parks. And they had to stop the game in the bottom of the fifth inning, not because of rain, but because at Dodger Stadium, the dugout's filled with poop.
What?
Oh, no.
The dugout's literally filled with poop. Two sewer pipes backed up.
Oh.
And flooded the Dodgers dugout and the clubhouse and the office of manager Dave Roberts with sewage.
Oh. I mean, is it really poop or is it pee and poop?
Well, it's lots of poop.
I'll allow our listeners to speculate on the composition.
Well,
Mike, all I can say is
God Larry King wasn't sitting behind home plate last night.
No, that's true. It was only an exhibition.
They never would have got him out of there, Carl.
Quoting Stan.
Of course, he is wearing a diaper, which I guess is would be called irony.
He is.
I'm not sure that's been confirmed. Dodgers president Stan Kasten, former president of the Braves.
And he knows a lot about poop.
Hawks. He said a pipe backup on two different levels of the stadium caused this flood, which literally produced a lake of
poop.
I mean, I really think the proper term is feces.
Poop. Feces. There was a layer of fecal matter in the Dodger ball. Thank God Vince Scully wasn't there to call it, Carl. Thank you. Vin may have taken right time to walk
stools,
away.
I mean, there are a lot of scientific terms.
Yes, but it still all sounds disgusting.
Oh, because it is disgusting.
I don't care how you phrase it.
If you've been to Dodger Stadium, and they have those seats which are below the field a little bit, too. So, oh, my God.
Here's some quotes from the players. Andrew Toll said, "I smelled it. It was nasty. I'm not going to tell you what it really was. That's kind of messed up." We'll do that here. But, yeah, it was nasty, man. It was a tragic thing.
Tragic.
Corey Seager was seen running out of the clubhouse, exclaiming, "Ew!" And Ross Stripling, a pitcher, said, this is a direct quote, "It was a crappy way to end the spring."
Great
direct
phrase.
Quote. Direct quote. Now, Stan Kasten and the Dodgers are hopeful and expecting that they'll be able to get this fixed
in time
for opening day, which is tomorrow. But I'm sharing the picture with Mike and Carl here.
Oh.
And, yeah, I mean, that's a full-fledged lake of
poop.
Sewage.
Yeah, right there. And Dodger Stadium is absolutely beautiful, even though it is one of the older facilities in the bigs.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium. Thing. I mean, it's a lot of people still consider it to be the best ballpark in the majors.
Yasiel Puig, Carl, said that, "Disgusting, man. There was peanuts in it. There was corn and everything."
Let me see this picture.
Ugh. Believe he actually.
God bless these.
I've got my sources. Mike, you have your sources. I have my sources.
I hope they got some hazard pay for this.
Well, yeah. Who's the poor guy who has to clean that
up? The cleanup crew.
The worst day last year at Falcons camp was the day. Remember the truck came to. They basically empty the porta johns up at Falcons. And it was a windy day, and the wind was coming right at us, and there was nowhere for us to go. We were tethered, obviously, to our broadcast position.
There are photos to prove that.
That was hazard pay,
man. That was a rough day, I remember. And the funny thing is, up at Flowery Branch, the cleanliness of the Port-O-Johns up there is unquestionably.
Sure.
I mean, it is. There are outhouses that aspire to be the Port-O-Johns at the level of cleanliness.
No, it's cleanliness. Is that the worst job in the world?
Poop. Cleaner
the guys, either at Dodger Stadium or the guy that was driving the truck at Flowery Branch.
The guy that was driving the truck, I thought he kind of purposely backed up and stayed a little bit longer than he normally does when we were sitting there.
Because we were busting his chops. Like, this guy's got the worst job in Atlanta. I think he did on purpose.
I'm going to go out on a limb and assume he might make pretty good money. Because there's not a lot of people who are willing to be the...
What is that job title? Poop cleaner? What is that title? What is the official title when the truck rolls up, connects to the outhouse?
You can't say it on the radio.
I was going to say in this era of millennials and trying to make everything sound cool, maybe it was like environmental cleanup technician something like that.
I know it's a union job in New York, all that carting and sanitation.
You remember the guy? What was the guy's name? You guys know what I'm talking about. Odd Jobs. He did all those odd jobs.
Mike Rowe.
I think he did this one time.
I'm looking up. I just Googled sanitation worker jobs, by the way. And $12.75 to $14.75 an hour in Compton, California.
He didn't give me local. It just immediately went national.
Why'd he go Compton?
Well, it's the first one that came up. Right.
Because Compton's always up to no good.
All right, let's check this. All right, you can make about the same. You know what? Whether you're in Compton or Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, it really is a crappy job. You're not making a lot of money doing
Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. That is a rough place to do environmental cleanup. Mike Bell knows where Mechanicsburg
yes,
is.
I do.
It's just up the road from Chambersburg and Gettysburg.
Yep,
and,
where the wife is from. Yuma, Arizona, $13 an hour.
No, I'm sorry. That's way too low.
I agree.
Because you're in the desert. So you're introducing heat into the equation.
Wait, let me say it again. Hot.
Oh, hard-cooked sanitation, third shift, 10 to 6:30. Position will be responsible for operation and sanitation of the hard-cooked line.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Why is your face like that?
I'm looking to see where this is. I'm interested. You know, Carl, you always got to think ahead, man. You always got to think of a life outside
of
radio.
Well, you know, it is.
That's Gaylord, Minnesota, by the way.
No, it is actually funny. I had like an Indeed.com search for myself set up from like 6-7 years ago before this radio station signed on. And you put in like your level of education and everything. I have a bachelor's degree in journalism from Penn State. I still get the emails. I don't really look at them, but it is funny sometimes how the job that I'm most qualified for that's available in the city of Atlanta right now with a journalism degree, I swear I am not making this up, is sandwich artist at Subway. I am not making this up. It's the funniest thing.
Sandwich artist.
I got to be honest.
Hello, Mike. Subway has an opportunity for you.
That journalism degree I learned a long time ago. Nothing.
Yeah, might as well have gotten an art degree.
I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you. Guys, I tell all the kids out there, all you kids out there, learn how to bartend. It's a job that is recession-proof, and you can take it anywhere in the world.
People like to get drunk no matter what the economy tells
Bingo.
You. I thought journalism was a recession-proof industry, and boy, was I wrong. All right, quick update on this Albert Bell story, and it's not a laughing matter because he's accused of indecent exposure, and there was a 15-year-old girl involved, but now, as Paul Harvey would say, we're hearing the rest of the story because a witness has stepped forward and said that these charges are bogus, that there is absolutely no indecent exposure going on. Albert Bell was simply using the bathroom in a parking lot.
Okay.
And there is actually a photo that the witness has produced.
All right. Well,
you see
Albert Bell. Do you really have to have your pants below your buttocks to do that?
Also, it does not seem to make much sense to me to relieve yourself on the open door of your car.
how scavosed was he? Was he pretty zooted? I mean,
well, he did take an extreme DUI. He's charged with extreme DUI. So, but this does change the story a little bit because when you hear Albert Bell's accused of exposing himself
around
to a family, including a 15-year-old, you start to think things. Now a witness has stepped forward and said these are bogus charges, and he even told TMZ, if you have to go, you have to go. So he's on Team Albert Bell.
Yeah, listen, I got to be honest. I've done this before.
Yeah, at a golf course in the woods.
I've done this. On the open door of your car?
No.
Never on the Kia. Never on the Kia.
No. Not on the open door of my vehicle. I'm saying I've done this where I've had to go and pulled over and gone.
And you pulled your pants down to do it.
Not below your buttocks.
Okay, maybe not that low. Now, but I've done this. Yeah. I'm not going to front.
It was a filth, florin, poop, and pee related Mike Conti, in case you missed it. One of our listeners, Mike Webb, hits us up, Mike Conti, and he says portable toilet cleaners made the top 10 list of highest paid dirty jobs.
I'm not surprised.
With the average worker earning up to $50,000.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Dirty jobs. That was the show.
There you have it.
Is there a civil service exam you have to take?
I don't
to
know.
Do that,
I mean, if you're living way outside the perimeter and that single wide, I mean, think about it, Carl.
It's
I mean,
not
you're
bad
not
at all.
Paying a lot of rent. Just throwing it out there.
Lots of poop, guys. Mike Conti will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, stay tuned. What's Kirby up to? We'll go on the sidelines with the dogs coming up. And also, Pat Swilling, College Football Hall of Famer, played in the NFL. Both of his sons attend Tech. We'll get his thoughts on a variety of things. That's coming your way at 4:20 here on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.